Blog Talk Radio.
Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another minicast. Now, we told you before that we're working on these conscious reviews where we look at movies and other things that are taking place, not only with current news, but like I said, movies, entertainment, music, and everything else, and trying to look at the hidden symbolism, what's really being said to us when we watch these types of things. Now, the other day, I watched a very, very crazy movie, or at least a very simple movie to some people. It was Logan's Run, and I'm not sure if people are familiar with it, so let me see if I can get you the IMDb description. It was made in 1976, and it was crazy. You know, it really was kind of crazy to think that they're putting this type of stuff out there. To think that this is the reality that somebody else, air quotes, came up with. It's made in 1976. The director is Michael Anderson. One of the writers is David Zelig Goodman, and the novel is based on Logan's Run by William F. Nolan. It stars Michael York, Jenny Agutter, Richard Jordan, and all kinds of other people. And the idyllic sci-fi future has one major drawback. Life must end at the age of 30. Now, I'm going to suggest you guys, you know, take your time, go check out that movie, watch it, because basically it's telling you, you know, what the whole goal of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the technocracy, smart cities, and so much more. Now, I'm trying to get our guests on, so we're Freddie of FR3 Volution to talk with us about this. And this is kind of something we might do in the future where we have other guests on to talk about, again, the hidden symbolism in these types of movies, the agendas at work, and other things as well. You know, it's always good to get two heads on the problem. And one thing I want people to think about as we see this kind of transpiring, or at least as we kind of see this reality coming into play, they say it takes place in the 23rd century. But we already see these types of things happening now. You know, we'll get into things like them slowing down the human lifespan. You know, how no one, the concept of life beyond 30 plus is just foreign to them. And when I say foreign, I mean they really can't think of a life past what's allotted to them, what's allowed. They have these gems, and you could call them the mark of the beast, where they are embedded in their hands, and there's stages to it. You know, you could be a cub, you could be yellow, you could be green, red, and then eventually, once you hit closer to 30, it goes down to black, and that's whenever you have to be renewed. That's whenever, and this is the craziest thing ever to me, no one knew that they were being renewed. You see, no one knew that they weren't part. Like, that's, people knew that they were literally giving themselves up. They thought it was perfectly fine that they were going to come back and be born again. Like, the movie starts off with Logan tapping on the nursery window. He says, "I know that's it. That is Logan 6. That's the next me." They already knew or trusted that some kind of system was going to bring them back in a different incarnation. And what Logan learns later on in the movie is that no one is actually renewed. Now, they call it being put on carousel. It's crazy. Let's see if we can get our guest on. Freddie, can you hear us?
Can hear you guys perfectly.
Most righteous. Thank you, my friend, for coming on.
Thank you guys.
This is your first time on the show, and I did a little bit of a preamble about, you know, the intro into Logan's Run, you know, how everybody's kind of like a green or red, and everything like that, the intro into it. But before we delve into that type of stuff, would you like to give people a little bit of a background on yourself?
Yeah. Well, My name is Freddie, Frevolution. Pretty much been on Instagram for about 5 years. Started in 2012. And just been on the journey, man. You know, just keep on sharing new information, learning new stuff. And basically my page is about a little bit of my perspective, my perception of how I am perceiving this matrix, you know. And that's how pretty much I gained the momentum, you know, as I like to be relative and pretty how do I say it, post on things that people go on their daily lives, you know what I mean? And that's how I pretty much got where I am right now.
And what would you say kind of, you know, woke you up to what was going on? Was there like some kind of triggering event?
Life changes, you know. When I was a little, when I was 14, my dad was taken away from us, and that pretty much woke me up to a lot of the stuff the government goes on, and you know, I hit rock bottom, and you know, I suffered a little bit, and I went through all that stuff, and I kind of got a taste of what life is really about, you know. And at the same time, it was I'm kind of grateful for that, because otherwise I wouldn't have been where I'm at right now and knowing the stuff I know. And a lot of corruption, you know. I started noticing a lot of stuff that just wasn't adding up, and little by little, you know, things, one thing will lead to another thing, and then, you know, you just start digging and, you know, scratching the surface, and, you know, and then you go down the rabbit hole, and here I am.
And you never stopped going down it.
And I never will stop either. It's fascinating.
It is. It really is. It's like once you start seeing, and I'm sure we'll get into this, you know, once you start seeing like the symbolism, not only in movies, but in even in clothing, graffiti all over the place, you know, you see the symbolism everywhere. And then you hear like subtle words that people say about things, and you're just like, well, how did they learn about these type of topics? And so I don't know, for me, it's like every day is just like a blessing and a gift. You see it, and then you see so many different things working. It's kind of like you kind of get that perspective, like, well, how can people not be excited about, you know, what's going on? How can people not really see? And so, you know, being that individual, you think, gosh, you know, I want to help people, or I want to talk about these types of things, or, you know, I want to try to figure out what's really going on. I totally hear you, man.
Exactly. Yeah, you got a point there. It's pretty much, you know, you start seeing in between the lines, and I like to say, you're seeing from the outside in how things are developing, and you know, with every story, every headline on news, you kind of just laugh at it, not because it's funny, but because kind of see it, you know, you see right through their lies and their deception, and for being, you know, I don't like saying the word woke, because it's kind of like, it's already played out a little bit, and I just like to say,
totally
I'm aware,
hear you.
You know, I'm aware of what's going on, and it's a blessing. It really is.
I totally hear you. It's like, I've only been doing this. We're coming up on year five ourselves, and this whole being woke phenomenon, all this stuff is like, I don't know. I find it dangerous that they're trying to make the awakening process, or what we think of as consciousness, trying to trendy it with the word woke and stay woke. Like, that's a whole nother discussion. I hear you, because every day we're supposed to be learning something new. If you're trying to put like a capstone on your stage of development, you know, you're already regressing yourself.
Yeah, you start seeing a lot of the term woke and a lot of hip-hop, and it's just kind of like, I don't know, they're trying to make it mainstream and make it hip and trendy when it shouldn't be like that, you know? It's kind of, you got to take pride in being, you know, like you said, you know, you never stop learning new things. So in a sense, you're kind of still ignorant, because, you know, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And it's just like... You know what I mean? One month you might not, like, I still don't know a lot of things, and people post different stuff, and I don't like to get into it right away, because I mean, I'm still on the fence of stuff, you know, so I like to be very familiar with what I'm talking about. I don't like to just hop on. I don't like getting in that bandwagon and start, you know, just because of a major account posts this that I have to do. You know, I don't feel that need to do that. I like to post stuff that's relevant, that's going on with the world, and you know, just keep people keep them intrigued, keep them interested, you know, in what you're doing.
I definitely think it's crazy too. You know what? Like, and I'm sure we'll talk about this too. Did you? I don't know if you saw. They're trying to normalize chemtrails. They have Harvard professors like normalizing the idea of like spraying chemtrails, aluminum, barium, and strontium. Like, that's becoming normal. We're talking about designer babies, cloning, all of this stuff that I thought were like conspiracies whenever I just started. All of this stuff is becoming like normal, and I think that's it's kind of wild to think about. It's happening. It's definitely happening.
Yeah, I hear you. I just saw the video you just posted about the babies, and I was kind of not shocked or surprised, but like you said, it's happening. You saw it before. You see it in movies and predictive programming, and then years later, it's there. Like, and they can't tell us, oh, well, you know, you guys are just crazy. You know, the tinfoil, this and that, and then. You know, you kind of they eat their words because it's there in their face, and I like seeing that, I really do.
So what do you think it means? Like whenever because like we are in those days, like chemtrails are real, cloning's real, the predictive programming's real. Do you think that we're immune to this next stage of programming, or does that mean that we have to be hyper aware of just like even more things that are at play?
I think we got to be really aware and alert, you know, stay vigil, stay informed more than anything, because things change from one day. They know we're watching, and we're on the sidelines learning this stuff, and it's the momentum's not stopping. It's just beginning. And I feel like they're, you know, that's why they're censoring a lot of stuff on Instagram, Facebook. They went on a purge. And YouTube, same thing. So, you know, these platforms that it was theirs for their entertainment and distraction, the woke folks are hopping on, and they're, you know, they're seeing right through it. And I think they can't stop it, and they know it. And that's why they're tiny down on security, you know, on cybersecurity. It's there. And it's I think that was the whole thing behind Bitcoin, in my opinion, to like kind of get people like afraid of, you know, old, you know, terrorists, cyber terrorism and all that stuff. Honestly, to me, it's nonsense because they can't stop the internet. And that's why they're doing all this with so much stuff in my head right now. Net neutrality. There it is.
Yep. Net neutrality.
And I just don't think that's gonna happen. Not anytime soon, at least. Not hopefully not in our lifetime. but
you can definitely see them trying to push for like I don't want to, you know, like they have the whole grid down situation, you know, and you see them practicing with like EMPs. I think that's a lot of what Jade Helm 15 was trying to, you know, figure out what to do. If there were like a grid down situation and they're trying to get things back up on, back on power, back online, whether or not they would be able to have like the resources. But, you know, you see them kind of, like you said before, having this predictive programming out there, putting feelers out, slowly advancing some agendas here, some agendas there. If you don't mind me asking, what, because I think this is kind of like what started our whole conversation about everything really. What do you think? California was hit with some kind of direct energy weapon?
I don't know. I've been living here for what, my whole entire life, and honestly, I've seen a lot of wildfires occurring. But I've never questioned.
You're out in Cali, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm here, you know, in San Bernardino, and we got a couple here. I mean, I'm looking at the mountains. I'm like probably a couple miles away from the mountains, and we got one a couple years back, and I remember the schools were shut down. There was like inches of ashes on the floor. It was bad, probably 6-5 years ago. and I did not question it at all. But now I remember before this California fire, the one that just passed right now, it was, I guess, one of the worst ones. Prior to that, a week ago, I even posted some videos on my Instagram story about how the sky was looking, and it was nasty. It was heavily chemtrailed. I mean, it was just gridlock on the sky, like completely all around. And I'm glad I actually got a videos of those, because, and then right after that happened, the fire started happening, and it's just a little odd, you know, how it all developed. And but about direct energy weapon, I know it's there, it exists, they have it, they've been having it for years, but I just don't, I don't know, I don't want to say it's not, I mean, everything's possible, of course, but I don't think the evidence is there, at least not for me. I because with all this photoshopping and stuff, you can't really, like, I got to see it from the source. Like, a guy, the person who took the picture, like, hey, here's the original picture, maybe then I would probably, you know, took it into consideration.
I feel you have a little bit more faith in the source. That way you're not just, like, picking it up off of hearsay. And I think that's kind of, even whenever a lot of the pictures and videos were floating around, you know, I was worried because I was seeing videos from last year's fire. But at the same time, you know, that makes me just keep thinking, well, why are there consistent fires, like, all the time? Like, what is going on in California? Like, why is it burning? That's just, it's crazy. Like, it's like a fire one after another. And I think, to me, that just kind of raises, like, flags right there. Whether or not it was a directed energy weapon, you know, if they sprayed aluminum, barium, and strontium in the sky, like you said, a week before, just to saturate the area and then, you know, light a match or excite the particles in the air, who knows? But the technology is definitely there. I'm just kind of, again, pointing out the fact that they continually have fires, and that's what I find kind of scary and dangerous.
Yeah, it is a little frequent, even for me. Usually the fires happen from between July, September, but in November and October is just odd having it, you know.
It's like
a
winter.
Little bit fresher, it's colder, and it's just weird. To me, it's weird. I mean, if a guy, I mean, everybody tries to point at fingers, oh, well, they're lighting, probably somebody threw a cigarette, but who in the right mind would just start it on purpose? I don't see why would anybody do that. I mean, crazy, but
yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
Fire.
It just doesn't make sense. Like, when you any way you try to piece it, it just, like, doesn't make, like, logical, factual sense. And so I don't know. You say you're in San Bernardino, right?
Correct.
Have you guys been affected any by the fire, or has, like, the smoke kind of billowed over?
Yeah, we definitely see the smoke. I mean, the plumes are huge. The whole sky just gets all hazy. It's dark most of the day. You could smell it definitely. I mean, I'm only an hour away from LA, 2 hours from Malibu. So it was definitely, it was big. It was massive.
That blows my mind. I definitely didn't mean to, you know, go into the whole what's going on with California thing. I think it's interesting to get somebody's perspective that's actually there and conscious of, like, what's going on so many levels, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I get it. I even looked into the high speed the railway they're trying to build, and I don't know. People are saying that that those pictures were altered. Like I said, the internet's tricky. It's like how do I say it? It's a sword with double edges. You know, it could be positive and it could be, you know, negative. So we just gotta be really careful and dissect the information that we find, you know, so we don't make, you know, wild assumptions.
I think this would be kind of like a good way to pivot into talking about some of the stuff regarding, like, Logan's run. You know, let's just kind of roll with me on this real quick. You know, in Logan's run, they're in these, like, protected cities, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know if they've been in there for for generations or how long these types of things are. But, you know, we're talking about things like chemtrails. We're fully aware of the devastation of things like of GMOs. You know, how far off do you think we are from having like a toxic environment to where we do have to be encased in these types of dome cities?
Yeah, the movie was kind of, it was interesting. Again, when I started watching it, it doesn't give you, like you said, you don't know how long those people were in there for, or what got them into there. A lot of questions still, you know, floating around. Even for me, when I watched it, I got to watch it again. And, but as far as that happening now, I mean, like I said, maybe not in our lifetimes, because the process for them is not very, it's not going very fast, since a lot of people are waking up and, you know, false flags are getting sloppier. People are waking up. So something big would have to happen. And I mean, they haven't even been able to start World War III. Like, they've been pushing it with Iran, and then we saw something with North Korea, but nothing really, like, I don't know, no strong movements have been made by them. And that's
some kind of catastrophic event or something would have to take place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. I don't think, because then again, you got to think about, man, there's so many people, millions of billions of people, to get them all on board in one, you know, in one idea, one, you know, get them all in the same boat. It's kind of hard. People have different ideologies. They have different politics, different stance, different religions. There's so many stuff that just separates us.
And I feel like that's kind of what we're seeing now. If you ask me, you know, they're one of the notes I have right here is that they have this kind of, this mother box AI, this thing that just kind of in the background ran everything. You know, nobody really talked about what was being done. It was just this AI that, you know, birthed you and gave you food and did all this stuff. And so I guess mm-hmm. what I'm seeing now is this kind of mindset to where people purposely get triggered or purposely look at their phone to be programmed, as if they're like ignoring reality only to like be offended by virtual reality. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely.
And that's where I feel like, again, I'm definitely glad you said like not in our lifetime, because I feel like with people like ourselves who are aware of these types of things, trying to push it off, you know, we can stave it off for our generation and possibly the next generation. But I see just mm-hmm. subtle parts of it already kind of manifesting like in our time, and I think that's what's strange about it.
Yeah,
it's like even the concept of like the carousel, and you know, for people who are listening, you're wondering like what are we saying? Definitely go check out that movie Logan's Run. It's coded with all kinds of symbolism and just wordplay of what's going on. And the carousel is basically almost like a nightly event. You know, they say you go on carousel for renewal, right? You're allowed to live till 30, and then once you hit 30, you got to go on carousel. And then you're renewed. Well, what renewal is basically sacrificing yourself.
Sacrificing.
Yep. They say one lives, one dies. As soon as all those people die, all of them are reborn. That's what they tell you. But I don't think you can't rebirth the spirit. You can't, you know, there's something else there. And that's what technology has tricked people to think, is that there is no soul essence and that we can be reborn through technology.
Yeah, I got that too. It was weird, and the fact that they were just, you know, mindlessly walking towards it, and I mean, they were cheering onto it, you know, as the people were floating up in the sky and in the air, just getting, you know, pretty much killed. But for them, it was renewal, and I see the symbolism, like, you know. There's a lot of people that they know stuff is bad, you know, the food's bad, you know, a lot of things are bad, and we know it. There's signs outside of restaurants warning you that the food inside causes cancer, but yet you still go and buy the food there. And that's what I mean. Like, some people just don't, you know, the answer I get more is, well, we're all going to die anyways, might as well be from something, you know? So, and so that mentality is toxic, you know, to think that you're going to die regardless. So you still, you know, keep smoking cigarettes, or, you know, you keep getting drunk every day or whatever it might be, you know, that's not a healthy mentality. And a lot of it comes from commercials, you know, a lot of it is just, it's programming, it's what it is, you know, they're making it seem like it's okay and it's totally fine and that's the way life is.
Well, that's synthetic culture. And that's what I mean by like by somebody in the background, that motherboard AI, and this is what we're seeing even today. People are aware of it. It's the synthetic culture that's being passed down to us, to where we think we'll have fun if we have six Budweisers. We'll think we'll have fun if we've been drunk for 7 hours. We think we'll have fun if we take all of these drugs, not really thinking about the long-term consequences. Like, look at the rates of autism that's spiking. Look at all of the mental health disorders that are popping up. I mean, look at what is actually happening to people who are embracing this synthetic culture. They're waiting to be programmed by their phone, getting high, drinking, popping pills till tomorrow or till the next day, not thinking about the long-term effects of these types of things. But in a world that looks for immediate, instant gratification, long-term planning or even short-term planning is just like a foreign concept. This is also what you see in Logan's Run, just to kind of, you know, connect the two. They end your life at 30. How many friends do we all have that have made it past 30? Do people expect to live past 30? They in Logan's Run, all they do is live for pleasure. Is that not what people are doing today? Are we not just, like we're talking about, staying drunk, staying high, staying all pilled out, staying just messed up? Who wants to go to a rave? We just want to live in this eternal bliss, not thinking about reality.
Yeah, you got a point there. It's like, you know, it's just living the moment. You know, it's like their slogan. What was it a couple years ago? The YOLO, you know, you only live once. That was a big pusher for all this nonsense. And I lost friends because of this, honestly. That they just, you know, they're living fast. They're living the fast life. They want to do it all in a short period of time. And the resemblance with the movie, it was 30, you know, you're right. A lot of people have been killed, you know, before they hit their 30s. And it's crazy that it's not an old age. It's still 30, you know, it's like around the corner. For me, I'm 26 and I'm getting there. So the movie, there was a scene where it was the love room, I think, or something like that, where they were just having sex, you know, everybody with everybody. And that, when I got to that scene, I was like, whoa, what's going on right here? And it was like, it was weird.
Well, you were watching the Pleasure Palace. That's basically,
yeah, that's
and I don't want to sound like some crazy Puritan or some crazy dude that's just like all about not sex, but you're talking about what the hippies call as free love. It's where you're like literally in a room, a rave, man. You're just in a room, and the minute you step in, somehow you've already agreed to have sex and do all this other stuff. But this is the mentality that we're being pushed in, where everything is sexy. Don't think about it. Everything is fleshly. You know, like you said, be in the now. Be in the now. And one thing I want to point out, you know, since we're talking about this type of stuff, and this is, I think, one of the crazier parts that people need to understand, is lust is not love and love is not lust. What they're teaching us is to lust after other individuals, to lust after worldly, fleshly things, not to love. And when you love, that's completely different than just craving something else. When you love, you have like filtration, discernment, and you work for it. Lust, it's cheeky, it's fast, you know, like it's easy. And everybody does it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to build up love. Lust can just be swiftly taken.
Yeah, I have to agree with that one. And I know I see that a lot with music. Even I speak Spanish, so I listen to a lot of Spanish music and also English music. And I compare them, and a lot of it, they're glorifying cheating. They're glorifying being with multiple men or women. For them, it's like it's manly. For a girl, you know, same thing. It's pretty disturbing to see that our children are going to be listening to this. And like I said, it's programming you to think that that's how it's supposed to be. And in my generation, it was not like that. Like, I remember, you had to work for it. Like you said, you had to build that friendship and that bond and that chemical, you know, that you feel inside that, you know, she's the one or he's the one. And now it's sad. This generation does not feel that. And it's pretty disturbing to see where this is going, to be honest.
And I think, you know, and to tie it into the movie real quick, you know, for people in Logan's Run, they actually talked about, they don't even know their mothers. They think people that have natural home births, they call them breeders. Most kids are grown in like test tubes or done by some kind of ectogenesis, gametogenesis process to where, you know, they're just birthed like test tube children. And this is the future that they're trying to design. But you ask yourself, how would we get there? Well, they would create a world where love doesn't exist, to where all you think of as, to where procreation doesn't exist. You're just spawned, you know, and you have, like we said before, love with everybody else. You have sex with everybody else. There is no concept of forming an actual bond, of living your life, of actually, like, you know, having like consequences to the decisions you make. But this is the mindset they're trying to push onto us. This is, again, more of that synthetic culture. And if we continue to follow down this path, we're going to end up there. We're not going to know, like, we're not going to know what our parents even went through to have us. You know, the love that they had to even come together to have us, or even care about, like, what happened. The generations and the culture that's being pushed right now, it really is destructive. It really is self-destructive behavior, and I don't think a lot of people want to admit the fact that they've been duped. They've been had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, you got a point there. Like, it's just, like I said, they just don't care anymore. Like, I don't, what is going on? It's a phenomenon, because you're seeing it happening, and you might have some friends that, you know, that are doing it, and you try to save them, you try to tell them, and then they open you up, you know, slowly but surely. They stop talking to you because you're the nut one, you know, you're the crazy one for trying to help them out. But they just want to live the moment, and it bothers, you know, because you're trying to do a good deed, but at the same time, like they say, you can't save everybody. You got to, you know, grab a handful that wants to be saved and learn and, you know, and not be duped, because that's what they're being every day. It's crazy.
Hey, I think everybody, you know, I think that's what's crazy, is everybody does come from like a place of compassion and understanding, to where they actually like want to like wake people up. I mean, that's ironically enough, you know, isn't that the concept of that movie, They Live? That's the concept where he's running around trying to get people to see the glasses, see what's going on. But in his, you know, diligent effort to try to wake people up, he's considered the criminal and the crazy person. That's because in a world of universal deceit, telling the truth in an empire of lies is a revolutionary act. And people these days, they practice a lot of, as we said before, escapism, living in the moment. If you show them the truth, they're scared of it. And all of this is very scary to think about. I totally understand. All of this is very, very not so much mind-blowing or humbling, but it is a little bit traumatic. It is shocking. But I would rather, I don't know, I'd rather have the truths and know all of what we're dealing with rather than just continually trying to reimburse myself with a lie.
Yeah, that's a good thing you mentioned that. And it's true, you know, they're scared of the truth. And it, is that comfort zone that they you know, they're so used to being in that zone that anything else that shakes them, it hurts, you know, it hurts, you know, that cognitive dissonance kicks in and they try to push you away. And for example, this girl I was talking about, she had a daughter, a little baby, and I was talking to her about vaccines, and I was kind of, you know, giving her the basic, you know, breakdown. And by the end of the conversation, she just straight up told me, you know what, I can't talk to you. You're scaring me. Bye. She just walked away. She didn't even want to know, ask questions, nothing. She, like, I mean, I have a daughter, and, you know, I kind of feel it. You know, you kind of, you sympathize. And for me, a vaccine's a big thing. Like, I it's a big no-no. Like, I even got my girl on it, made her do some, you know, some, you know, research, and because she was on the fence of it, and she wanted to vaccinate them, and she was scared of it. You know, she didn't want to, you know, because she never asked questions, or, you know, you kind of, they kind of just believe the doctor because they have a degree that they're right. You know, when so many stuff has happened and the evidence is there, and they just choose not to, you know, they look the other way around, and they just want to be happy.
I understand that, you know, and I get that, you know, I really do get that. I guess we're crazy then, because I don't know. I find the happiness in doing this type of work and adjusting the life to follow this kind of path, you know, to where we do stay in alignment with truth. You know, facts can easily be manipulated. A lot of the studies that are put out there are put together and paid for by the pharmaceutical industries that are trying to say that there's no problem with their drugs. But whenever you watch their commercials, they tell you that they'll have problems X, Y, Z. And, you know, if you look at the inserts of the vaccines, they tell you that this could kill you, that this could cause bad reactions. I mean, just the other day, look at New York State Senator Jose Peralta. He died at 47 from a flu vaccine. Like, yeah, this guy advocated it, and then he ends up dying because of it in his later on stages in life. Now, think about if that was introduced to your child. You see, and that's just something I want people, you know, as the audience to think about, because, well, you're out there in California, so you have to deal with things like SB 277, where mandatory vaccinations are like a thing. So you're having to be conscious of what they're trying to put inside of your child.
Yeah, that was a big hit to us. You know, that really, that day was just a sad day for me. I signed the petitions. I've got people, you know, I was, you know, spreading it out, but vaccination is like religion. It's one of those topics that's so controversial. So just, and I don't even see why it is, honestly. Like, we're just trying to save your kids. these vaccines, they're how I explain to people is a baby's born, and they have, you know, the Most High gave them, you know, the perfect little immune system that hasn't even been developed. And off the bag, they wanted to inject her with the hepatitis B. Like, she was just a couple of minutes born, and here they are trying to inject her. To me is child abuse. You cannot, like, it's crazy. And I straight up opt out. I told them, you're not doing that to my child. And I was right there, and I made sure she didn't get that vaccine. And, you know, it was just, and like you said, I have to deal with that going, you know, if I want them to go to public school, they have to get all their vaccines. And thankfully, we just agreed to, we're homeschooling. So I'm not going through that, thank God. But I feel bad for people that haven't even done the homework, even a little bit. You know, even if you're on the fence, at least look at the information and then make your conclusions. Don't just say, oh, no, you know, herd immunity or you know, but what if she does get sick or polio or measles? They always throw that at you, and it's crazy because you haven't. I tell them, when have you seen a family member in your family had polio? Like, it's not like the chicken pox or it ain't this or that. It's polio and measles. They're not even – I remember I think I saw a video in the 50s. They were even making fun of, oh, it's just the measles. It'll go away. Like, they were making fun of it back in the day. And now it's all backwards. Now we see every month they're pushing for flu shots, and don't get caught in the flu shot. There is whopping. We got the whopping flus coming, and all this just propaganda and just brainwashing, and they're promoting it in McDonald's, Walgreens, all these places, you see it, and, oh, Target's free, you buy this, it's free flu shot. And unfortunately, people will go for that just to get a coupon or an ice cream. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, you can go to, I think, what is it? It's CVS. It's either CVS or Walgreens, and you can get a turkey if you get your flu shot done there. And, you know, I know that kind of sounds silly, but to some people, you know, they're like, wow, that's a great deal. I should get my flu shot and a free turkey. But that's how dumbed down they literally have us. Yeah, it's a who's going to lose? Not me. I'm going to have turkey. And that's all people think about. They don't think about whether or not, you know, they're affecting their immune system. They don't think about whether or not they're compromising their health. You know, they don't think about the long-term effects. I mean, you've had how many people come out, like nurses, CDC members, just like doctors, immunologists, mm-hmm. all kinds of people who just like conduct studies and tests and tell you, like, look, these flu shots that we're giving you, they're actually giving you the flu. These are the source of the problem. Your immune system is actually pretty fine. When we give you these, we're actually deliberately affecting you. We're deliberately dehumanizing you. You know, if you ask me, man, I think isn't human experimentations like against like the Nuremberg trials, and that's basically what I feel like they're doing with these types of vaccines. The science isn't settled. You know, like you said, like at what point did it become controversial for us to have the right to choose what we're putting in our child's body? Like, it's this blind belief in authoritarianism or scientism where we expect the experts to already have it figured out. And that's dangerous.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's the question I try to make them, you know, ask themselves. If it's so safe, why are they making it mandatory? You know, why are they making this? There's a law, you know, now it's a law that you have to vaccinate. And if it was so safe, then there was no need to get, you know, get Congress involved in all this legislation. And people are, you know, there's more than enough people that are against it. And so that's a good thing. And I think we just need to keep doing our job and keep, you know, not be hostile about it, because it is a touchy subject, but just approach them, you know, as a friend, you know, be polite, make them question stuff, you know. And
exactly.
At the end of the day, is there kids, you know, and they're going to do their best for their kids. And I feel the fear, you know, I understand it, you know, it's their kids. And the thing I just thought about right now, why they're making it mandatory, is because you got to think about all these woke, you know, I'm not going to say woke, but the conscious families, people that are aware of what's going on, they're having kids now. You know, they're all in their 20s, 25s. They're having kids. All these indigo children, they're the next line of defense for us. You know, we got to, whatever knowledge we obtain, we're passing it on to them. And I think that's why we won't see it in our generation, and hopefully not in theirs either, because we're giving them the weapons, the information to fight this knowledge is there for them to fight it off and keep passing it on to the next generation, to their kids and their grandkids, you know. And maybe that's why they're pushing vaccines so much, you know, because that's where they're, you know, they got to, like, they're hitting the source, our children.
I don't know what that was about. I got kicked out. I legit don't know what that was about. It like literally dropped the call, midstream.
That's crazy.
Chop it up to more of the mishaps that happen when we talk about this type of stuff. Even whenever we're trying to be kosher and civil about it, you know. But I had heard whenever you were talking about approaching people in the respectful manner, because this is a touchy subject. We're talking about people's kids. You know, this is the next generation. And things like vaccines, they're a touchy subject. And now we see people starting to take into consideration, you know, what goes on with people's diets, what goes on with health. We're talking about things like a meat tax. If you don't mind me asking, because you said you're homeschooling your child, have you seen any kind of, I guess, like vegan or vegetarian or conscious kind of homeschooling programs out there being put out by people?
Not yet. My daughter's barely gonna be. She's not even in that. sorry, she's not even in that stage yet. She's barely gonna be three. So, I think we're homeschooling till we're what, six? I think five. So I'm not there yet. But best assured, when we get to that bridge and we're crossing it, we're gonna be completely informed about all that stuff, because it is important to know their diets. I'm always trying not to give them milk or or all this junk food, but it's hard, you know. Honestly, with kids, it's hard, and but we're getting there slowly, but surely.
You know, I think it's what's crazy too, because I feel like we're going to see a lot more of this. This concept of conscious homeschooling in the future, I think it's a beautiful thing nonetheless, because you see people seeing what's going on with academia, you see what they're trying to do as far as the indoctrination, society and culture and everything that's going on there. Do you think that, you know, in the future there will be like institutions, like conscious institutions? Like, do you think, because I don't think everybody's always had this kind of upbringing where their parents, you know, told them about the Illuminati, or told them about Freemasons, or told them about the deliberate dumbing down of America, or any of these types of things. This is a new stage of educational evolution that we're going to start seeing. If you could you spend a little time talking about that?
I haven't even thought about that, but. You know what? I think so, because with all this, like you just mentioned, everything you just mentioned, it's information, and there's more of it coming out every day. I think that would be possible, but all these controversial, the Illuminati, Freemasons, the Bilderberg, I think they would kind of try to shut it down for the same reason that they're afraid of, waking more people up, unplugging them from the matrix. But that would be actually a good thing to start, some sort of school for them to, Instagram's going to die any year already. They're shutting it down. They're shutting pages down, censoring posts. And it's only, it's only the beginning. 1984, like I said, it's happening. It's here. And, I think it starts at home more than anything. It starts at home. And with all these conscious families, you got to just, spread the seed and water it, You just wait for it to bloom and keep feeding them that knowledge. And with the intent of, spreading it out. I know a lot of friends that I've spread my, my seeds. And a lot of my friends actually follow me now. Before, they were just, he's crazy, he don't know what he's talking about, he's another conspiracy theorist. But now they're following me, they're asking questions. I've never seen it before. They're asking more questions about chemtrails, vaccines, GMOs. And it's exciting seeing that they're actually caring about this stuff, and about even money. Money's one of those big ones. It's completely made up. They make it out of thin air. There's nothing to it. There's no gold behind it. And we're just, we're slaving it off by, these corporations that are just milking us. They're constantly just, we're making them billions, and they're just throwing the scraps to us. And it's pretty frustrating to see that happening.
Yeah, and I mean, Facebook and Instagram are making money off of our data. That's just a perfect modern day example of how these people are profiteering off of, our fun, our leisure, our labor, all of it, That's something I think people need to think about.
Yeah, it's for me, working at warehouses was one of those that actually woke me up too, because I just started seeing the hours I would put in and then the paycheck I would get. I would just laugh. I'm like, how is my effort, my hard work, and all this chunk is just taken away with taxes and taxes that are funding wars and that are funding, crimes against humanity. They're funding stuff that you don't even know what they're funding, but they tell you it's for the road, it's for a hospital, it's for that pothole over there in the street. And like vaccines, taxation is another one of those controversial ones. And that's why I have my shirts that I sell. They're taxation instead of, because that's what how I feel it. You know what I mean? I see the check. I see the money going to these, you know, what's going on in Palestine, what's going on in Syria, all this stuff. That's your tax money working. That's what it's doing. And I just don't want to be a part of that. And I'm trying to make more people aware of that. And so far, it's going good, to be honest. A lot of people are, I'm breaking through them, and they're actually acknowledging it, and they're feeling it, and that's a good thing to me.
Yeah, people have to know that, you know, your tax dollars, like a perfect example of like what your tax dollars go to right now with things like the migrant caravan, the funding of things like breaking down borders, making migration a right. Your tax dollars go to the State Department, which then goes to the United Nations, which then gets put to work. And what Freddie's talking about as far as your tax dollars going to work for these wars, people like law enforcement and the military, we're putting the dollars in their paycheck. You know, and these are things that people need to think about. And it's our right, because we are paying for these types of things, to point out that we don't want to pay for these types of things. And I think that's another thing that people don't really take the time to consider. You know, it's like whenever you hear George Carlin say, you know, if you voted for this guy, you don't get if you did vote for this guy, you get a right to complain. I didn't vote for this guy, so I get the right to complain. But people,
exactly,
because we're paying towards these types of wars, we get the right to complain and say, look, we don't want our money being spent towards this. We're being sold the lie, like Freddie's saying, oh, they're building hospitals, they're building roads, you know, they're building infrastructure, and that makes total sense because Flint, Michigan still needs clean water, you know, and these are just the lies that we're being told. And that's why I think it's important for conscious individuals like ourselves to have discussions about these wider topics. You know, sometimes it dips into politics, it dips into sociology, but it's because we're looking at the current state of events, the world events, saying, how can we fix this? We're trying to approach it with pragmatic idealism, looking at these infrastructures, saying, we need to fix this. And I agree, man. Taxes is theft. I hear the word taxes, and I just, like, ugh. I just, like, shudder. I just, like, you know, it, like, makes my skin crawl.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's everywhere from, you know, from a gallon of milk, from a bottle of water, to the food you buy. Everything is taxed. You can't even go fishing. You can't go hunting without a permit. You can't, you know, you go to the mountains and you see a no trespassing zone. Well, I mean, who made them in charge of this? You know, who did the government pay? You know what I mean? It's Mother Earth. It's supposed to be for, you know, us humans. We shouldn't be taxed on stuff that, you know, this is what the Matrix is. It's imaginary stuff that they're just making out of thin air. You know, just because there's a fence there, you can't go there no more. And a lot of people really, I'm not telling people to be disobedient, but be a critical thinker. You know what I mean? Just ask yourself, why? Why can't I go over there? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And everything is just money. It's money to them. The whole world runs on money. And not only that, it honestly runs on ignorance, because if we knew better, if the people knew better, that we would start seeing a lot of riots, a lot of protests, a lot of, you know, uprising. We haven't had an uprising in years. And I'm afraid we won't see one either on our generation, because for the same thing, we're being dumbed down with fluoride, toothpaste. You know, there's just so much we're getting bombarded with. It's crazy.
Well, to connect it real quick to Logan's run, you know, not towards the end, the middle part of the movie, right? Whenever they break out of the actual city, when they get past the walls, when they get past Box,
mm-hmm.
they realize that the gyms no longer work. They realize that little counter, you know, to where they thought they were only going to live till 30. Yeah, that doesn't work. That's all in your head. That's the Matrix.
Exactly.
You've been conditioned to think that you only have X amount of resources, X amount of time to live. And these are your tools. Yeah, these are your tools inside of their playground. Their playground is on our world. And what's crazy, too, when you guys watch the movie Logan's Run, what we're talking about as far as trying to wake your friends up, talking about these types of things. And sometimes it is kind of scary. Sometimes it is a little apprehensive. In the movie Logan's Run, his friend Francis thinks Logan is sick. He thinks his friend is genuinely like ill because he's like, well, mm-hmm. I'm trying to run away from this system. I don't want to be a part of this. Like there's sanctuary out there. I don't want to be a part of this. And his friend Francis can't for the life of him think, well, what's wrong with Logan? Why isn't he trying to come back? Doesn't he want to watch people sacrifice themselves for the state? Doesn't Logan want to watch us kill other people? Why would Logan want to leave this? But he can't understand it because he's that conditioned to the system.
Yeah, that part was it was really mind blowing, and the fact that they didn't even know what the sun was, you know, they go out, they break out, and they start feeling it. You know, they're like, "What is that on the sky?" And then Logan's like, "I don't know. It's warm though. It's energy."
But Freddie, who's going outside these days? Are any kids playing kickball or baseball? Who's going outside these days?
Exactly. That's the resemblance right there. You know, everybody's just stuck on their phones or video games or whatever, you know, their computer. And it's just crazy that even little kids, you know, they're 3-4 years old and they already know how to operate YouTube more than, you know, more than elderlies. And it's for this. And there you have it. Nobody's out on their bikes. Nobody's playing kickball. Nobody's, you know, going out and actually, you know, receiving the energy, the vitamin D that's so important to our, you know, it's vital for our health.
Vitamin D has like literally been proven to be more beneficial to help you get over the flu than the actual flu shot. Like you can go look these types of studies up. This is some legit stuff, but this is what happens. You know, and it ties into what we were talking about before, as far as vaccines and everything else that we see happening in our environment. They are dehumanizing us. They are trying to get us dependent upon this system to think that that's where we'll have, that's where we'll find salvation. That's where humanity's true future lies, is through this automation. People don't understand that it's, again, more of this, I don't want to say like escapism, but it's, or like the synthetic culture. It's more of this idea of just like, okay, well, everybody else knows what's best. I'll just follow them. And when we go down that path, we literally abdicate our own individuality and give over our power. And that's what we're seeing these days is like you said, this matrix feeds off of our ignorance.
Yeah. Everybody likes to follow, you know, everybody likes to be that follower. They like to be in the, you know, everybody crowd things. Nobody thinks for themselves anymore. Nobody is the word individual doesn't even exist anymore because everybody just wants to be, they want to fit in, you know, they want to fit in so bad to a society that, like you said, it's synthetic. It's synthetic. It's made up. It's all for profit. It's all slave. You know, we're modern day slaves. We know everybody has their credit cards. Everybody, with the holidays coming up, is a perfect example how wild they get, how crazy they get for a flat screen TV, for a, you know, a tablet or whatever it might be. And it's the deals. It's the hot deals that are being pushed onto us. But what people don't realize is these items are made for the, you know, in third world countries where they're getting paid like cents, literally cents. And then they're being sold 4 or 5 times their price. But to them, it's discount. And it's crazy. You know, it's crazy. And that's one of the things that I'm seeing more and more since I've been, you know, aware of the world, is all this consumerism is just, it's toxic to society.
It's this materialistic belief where, you know, again, we'll find happiness, we'll be sustained, we'll be fulfilled if we get the latest iPhone. I'll be happy
mm-hmm.
once I get the latest Jordans. You know, my life will be complete once I get that new game dropping, or that once my life will be complete once I get Modern Warfare 28, you know, and that's
yeah,
that's how people's mindsets work. They're not seeing how they're being programmed to accept what they think of as happiness rather than looking inward, not on the digital front, you know, not on social media, not on the internet, looking inward to find that true happiness. That's where people really need to escape, mm-hmm. is within themselves, not on like oxys.
Yeah, that's I don't know. These people, I don't want to say these people, you know, because I was one of them at one point. But people just need to start, like you said, looking within, you know, what truly makes them happy. You know, I don't think I've ever bought a pair of Jordans and like you said, felt like, oh my God, my life is complete. But people truly feel like that. They'd be camping outside for the hottest new, you know, iPhones. And it's laughable, honestly, that there's literally people camping outside for a phone that looks the same every year. There's, you know, they purposely hold back technology for years, get off of it in a few more months. You know, they make it on like, oh, well, this new update, this we just did that, the camera's bigger, the camera's wide, you know, whatever it is, and people just fall for it. And it's crazy that I've never seen that before in my life.
Well, it's the wizardry. It's the magic. It's the man behind the mirror. It's the people behind the veil. It's those people who are able to pull that trick. And, you know, a lot of it, too, is no knowledge of self. These are people, and I hear you, you know, because you were there, you know, in that mindset, too. You didn't really know, you know, you didn't know better. And so you kind of feel bad, mm-hmm. whenever you're pointing these things out. But you're trying to point out the people who were still asleep that you're trying to wake up. Perfect example is like even in Neo's movie or in the Matrix, where Neo's walking through that crowd of people saying these people are all still asleep. But you can see what's going on. They can't. The people, and what's even crazier about it is there are people who choose not to see, who choose to stay within this delusion, who choose to stay like within their prison. And I feel like, you know, it's not necessarily dangerous because to each their own, but these are all the different spectrums that we have to think about when approaching people, when moving forward and developing, you know, what I would think is a conscious culture or a culture of consciousness, to where we're aware of the controlling people, the spiritual warfare, and everything else that we're really not necessarily bombarded by, but that we're involved in. Because us as human beings, we're some very beautiful, multidimensional, powerful individuals and creatures, some beings for sure. And people mm-hmm. don't really take the time to understand that because, well, they did go get that pair of new Jordans. You know, they did go get that new iPhone. So they think there's no need for them to look inward. They're just going to take a selfie and they're going to be all right.
Yeah, you brought a good point. This narcissistic, is that, I think that's the word. It's just, you know, people live for a like. They live for a follow. People saying, oh, follow me back. Oh, shout out for shout out. I'm like, no. I didn't get to this point by getting shout outs, you know.
And it's pages that you would think would be conscious, too. They have, like,
yeah.
you know, like Third Eye Mystic or some crazy cool stuff. And you're like, hey, that's a cool name. You check their page. Mm-hmm. It's stuff that you would look at. And then they're just like, shout out for a shout out or follow back, wink. You're like, wait, what? No, this is the work. Like, you're supposed to be putting this out there, not for the likes, not for the attention. You're supposed to be doing this to try to talk to people, engage in broader discussions. Like, it's what we were talking about before with people trying to make woke trendy.
Yeah, exactly. And there's people that even charge money for repos. I'm like, wait, what? It's information. You shouldn't be charging a fee to spread knowledge. I mean, that's all we got here, you know, but nobody, you're marketing off of information now. Like, that's the biggest, I think, a red flag right there, that you should not follow pages that are just reposting for money or for money, for even to talk to somebody in the DMs. That's like, who are you? You got a public figure on your page. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. That to me is just laughable. You know, people think that there's some idol just because you have 100,000 or 500,000, 500,000 followers that are probably all bots and or shields, you know, just agents watching you, you know, monitoring your page. But it's unauthentic, you know. You can't. There's no way you could get to that many people and not buy followers, you know. People didn't even know it was a thing. People are like, I'm like, yeah, people buy followers straight up. And why would you even waste money on a social media? You know, it was nothing when we were little, and it's still nothing to us. You know, for us, it's just a platform to use and try to, you know, people from the matrix or at least try, you know, to plant that seed, and eventually, on their own terms and on their own time, at their own pace, that seed will bloom and it would become a flower. That what it is, how we got here, you know.
Well, I think that's definitely a whole lot of stuff I want to touch on there. You know, a lot of people, because like you said, you've been doing this for about like 5-6 years, man. Same here. You know, people think that we kind of came to this overnight. And you can see the people that pop up overnight because they do buy their followers. You'll have people who are at an even 3,000, even 5,000, and then they shoot up to 50,000 next week. 2 weeks after that, they shoot up to like 100,000. You're like, what's going on here? And then you look at the content that they're posting. There's nothing here. The interaction, the engagement, it's not there. You're like, okay, so what's going on? The week after that, they're already up there in like the half a million. You're like, okay. Yeah, because this is natural. This is organic, I'm sure. And, you know, to some degree, we can talk about censorship and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of people that buy their followers. Now, because I have the podcast and everything we're trying to do, I do charge people who are trying to have like product posts or promos or anything like that. They want to post on the page. Sure, contact us. We'll do it. But as far as like reposts, that's a whole different thing. Think about it. This is my version of a repost, is having you on the show. My version of a repost is saying, let's actually have a formal discussion. I'm not going to skulk around on your page and repost something I like. I'm going to get your opinion and we're going to discuss it, you know, but you didn't have to pay to get on here. We just talked, and that's what it should be, is a lot of this needs to go. We need to get back to conversation. You know, a lot of people are trying to, again, do this for the likes, do this for the popularity, do this for the trendiness, and that's where they're wrong. You don't do this type of stuff because you're trying to be cool or trendy. This stuff is dangerous and scary. You do this like basically out of like necessity and survival. You're like literally talking about how they're trying to kill us and control us, and then, you know, get rid of us and then take care of the next generation. You don't do this to sound fun or cool or for the likes. I'm not doing that for this. I'm doing this to try to raise the alarm to say, look, we have X, Y, and Z that we need to figure out yesterday. And I don't see anybody talking about any kind of solutions. And this is kind of why, you know, I'm grateful we have the podcast, because we used their tools of enslavement, things like Instagram, social media, or Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We used their tools of enslavement that they have to try to pacify and distract everybody. We're using it to enlighten people, and that's why we're considered dangerous. That's why it's considered strange, because we're that light at the end of the tunnel. We're trying to tell people about how many different things are going on and how they have the actual power to provide the solutions that they and others need. And that's a scary thing. The idea that people, I'll say this and I'll pass it to you, the idea that people are responsible for their own lives, that their success and their failures depends upon them and how much work they're willing to do, that's a very hard thing for people to conceptualize these days, because we are dealing with people who have become numb, desensitized, fatalistic, and who practice this escapism. And so you're trying to basically give fire to like a husk. It's not like a soulless body, but to something that's just like, you know, not turned on. I don't know how you would explain it, you know.
is that spark, you know, you want to just ignite. Because everybody knows deep down to a level that things aren't right. And I get that from a lot of people. I get, you know, DMs, and it feels good when I get these. They're like, man, like, I've been feeling this forever. I just didn't know what it was. And thank you for, you know, for breaking it down how it is. You know, people know it. People know the world is messed up. It's a dark world right now. And it's getting darker, but you know, with all this pedophilia, with the it's just so many things going on that people are realizing that these good people that, you know, they told us we're good people are not so good after all. And people are moving away from this stuff. And that's where I think the people in control behind the curtains pulling the strings are kind of, they're scared. They're scared that people are realizing their games, you know, and we're not playing those games anymore. And like you said, we're using their tools. Your podcast is an example. It's a great way to get to infiltrate their form in a way, not in a bad way, but in a way that you're going to influence thousands, maybe millions of people that are just scrolling down a podcast and they're like, hey, let me check this out. And then bam, you know, they start listening to it and tuning in and they start, you know, liking it. And then they, you know, and then they tell their friends and then so forth. And that's how it starts. Same thing with Instagram, Facebook. And I like to use a lot of hashtags that have nothing to do with the post. Like, you know, that's how I infiltrate my posts into people are like, well, why are you using Kim Kardashian? Why are you using Jordans or this and that brands?
To get to people who don't normally stay, who don't normally stay. I get it. I get you. That's smart.
You know what I mean? You just got to infiltrate them because they're not going to go on Instagram and search, oh, Agenda 21, oh, Agenda 2030. They're not going to do that. Then people don't know what chemtrails are still. People don't know what are GMOs. The people don't know what are, you know, a lot of things. And by you putting those hashtags, only the people that already know about it are going to click on it. And you got to get people, like, I guess you could call it a bait hashtag. Well, with me, that's how I think, that's how I grew a lot based on that from a lot of people that, you know, I put NFL or whatever event is going on, like for the World Cup, I was putting FIFA this and that. And a lot of people were you know, clicking it. They're going to see it eventually, and they're going to click on it because it's going to grab their attention. And that's honestly the best way to spark people's, like you said, you know,
curiosity.
That fire inside, you know. Yeah, exactly, curiosity.
Freddie, with the time that we have, would you say that we are in a spiritual war, my friend? Like, would you say that there's, like, a spiritual war manifesting itself evidently today, these days?
To a certain level, yes, I do. You see it with a lot of like what we were talking about earlier, all this lust and love. Well, there's an example right there. You know, you're not loving somebody with the spirit anymore. It's just that passion and that the heatness and it's just lust, you know, you're looking at the physical instead of within, you know what I mean? It's everywhere. You see it everywhere in advertisements, commercials. They're attacking the spiritual, like your spirit. It's like you said, they can't clone it. So what are they doing? They're damaging it. They're programming it to a higher level than what they are to our brains. And I think it's completely happening.
Would it be, it's like our, I don't know, it's, I find the more I do this, you know, I look at like how my own thought process has like evolved. You know, I think about what I don't think about, then I don't think about what I do think about. And I see my mindset just like changing all the time. Do you think that there, with the rapid developments of things that are happening, do you think that they are trying to do just that, to not traumatize us, but to overwhelm us with so many events to where we do feel kind of helpless?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. That's why you see all these shootings every week now, almost. there's one in the East Coast, there's one in the West Coast, there's all these things happening, all these false flags that they're slowly, you know, getting it to that point where we're feeling, I hear it from my house in here. Even my girlfriend just said, I was like, oh my God, I don't feel safe. We can't even go to a mall without having a shooter. We can't even go out. I shouldn't even be going out anymore. Like, that's the mentality, you know, that's their programming at full effect. They're getting us to just fear going out. They want us in our box, in our happy little box where you're just paying bills, paying for all this stuff. You wake up, go back to work, come back, and that's it. You know, people are like, oh, well, it's pretty much, it's honestly a jail cell with large, pretty windows because we're here all day. You know, we're in your house just waiting for the sunset to go and back to bed and back to work, clocking in and clocking out. And it's the same thing every day, repetitive. That's why I tell people, I mean, I believe there's FEMA camps, but when people like to say, they're installing FEMA camps, there's no, in my opinion, there's no benefit in having FEMA camps for the sole purpose that we're the money makers, you know, we're the ones that keep the ball going. We're the ones that are bringing the bread in for these corporations. If they have us in FEMA camps, well, we can't give them any money. They need us in the matrix. They need us plugged in, paying bills, paying for rent. You know, that's why rent's so high. It takes, what, like 30, 40 years for you to pay a house. By that time, you're already dead. You can't move. You're partly has, you know, you're getting sick from all the stuff you already, you know, consumed, all the drugs you probably already took. At that time, when you paid off your house, well, for what? You can't move. You can't enjoy it. You know, it's pretty much we're living to pay bills. And that was another thing that woke me up. Like, I was not brought to Earth just to pay bills. Like, this is not life. I don't want this for me. And
I totally think, you know, I say this all the time. I feel like creativity is what we have to use to combat conformity. Everything you're talking about is this conformity. It's the lie of the American dream that we were sold. It's a manufactured dream. I think these days, whenever we're having these kinds of conversations, we're breaking that matrix. We're breaking that spell. What do you think some of the solutions are to help people break these types of cycles and to create this better tomorrow?
I think you got to take risk. You got to take it. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for next month. Don't wait for next year. People are looking for the new year resolution for what? Do it now. Do it. Just do it. Even me, I with the little new business of apparel that I'm coming out with, one day I just thought about it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make shirts. And sure enough, in a week or two, I started, you know, taking action, manifesting my vision, manifesting my thoughts into this third, you know, this 3D world. And surely enough, I made it happen. And it's, I'm happy about it. I'm actually proud of what I'm doing and not just posting about it, but actually taking action. And like I said, you just got to do it. You got to break the chains. You got to break those chains. And it's possible. People think it's not possible, but it's really possible now more than ever.
Yes. I'm very glad you said that last part. Now more than ever. With these tools that we have at our disposal, at our fingertips, we are capable of so much. Like you said, manifesting your vision basically overnight. But that's the thing, is you have to have the thoughts, you have to have the hope, you have to have the vision, you have to have it. And then you got the other part of that, because everything is 50% practicality, 50% theory. You got the theory down, you're working on the practicality. People have to believe in themselves, because that's the only way we're going to get through this. We believed in this idea of the American dream and what we've been sold, and now you can see it kind of collapse and you can see things changing. I see a renaissance on the horizon. I foresee people literally innovating our ways, innovating our way out of this jail. Like, literally, we're going to liberate ourselves, because what they're doing right now is stifling human progress. they're stunting us. They have us in like a form of like arrested development because, you know, we are going to work to pay bills and just do all this, go to sleep just to do it all over again. We're not moving forward. That I truly believe is our solution, is we have to start innovating our way out of this prison. But I want to say thank you, Freddie, for coming on, my friend. This was most definitely enlightening.
Nah, man, thank you. I'm really honored to be on your show, and I'm looking forward to do more reviews of movies and just having this conversation. It feels so good to talk to people that you can, you know, you bond, you have that enlightenment, you feel good about it. Most of the people you talk about, they're just small talking and talking about sports or whatnot, but it feels good to talk to somebody that we could, you know, have stuff and relate in common.
Oh man, we got like, we need to take the time, but we have a list. I'm talking to the audience right now. We have a list set out for you guys of videos that we're going to come up with. This is just kind of like the intro into it. This is what started the whole discussion of doing like conscious reviews, but we're going to start having more of these, maybe not feature length broadcasts, but we're going to do these types of conscious reviews where we look at these types of things. It's important that people see how they're not being subtly programmed and how it plays into the larger goal of things. But Freddie, before you go, my friend, could you tell people where they can find more of your work?
Definitely. You could just go on my page, Frevolution, find me on Instagram, and I have my link on my bio, and from there you could just scroll down and check it out. And thank you. Thank you for having me again.
And are you on Facebook or YouTube as well, or is it just Instagram?
It's just Instagram. With my life, I can't be on different platforms. I do have Twitter, but I don't even use it. So it's mainly just Instagram.
I understand that, my friend. Well, like I said, thank you for coming on, and we'll be in touch soon. Thank you, bro.
Thank you.
There he goes. There he is. And I will put all of his links in the description bar below for you good people. And I know, very choppy episode, definitely different, but that's how these go. This was, as I said, Freddie's first time on the show, so, you know, we had to give an intro, get a feel for these types of things, and really, you know, I think it's amazing, you know, that we can pick up these kind of conversations with anybody, and in a weird way, you see everybody kind of waking up to what's going on in their own way, you know, to where they're tired of the injustice. They're tired of the monotony. They're tired of the automation. They're tired of the synthetic. They're tired of the fake. They want the real. And that's how this all works. You are only going to find these types of things in these discussions when you're doing the type of work that's going to liberate you. And my friends, that's all I'm here to do. Now, before I close out, I'm doing something new. I'm taking pictures of the notes, the show notes, and then putting them in the description bar below. Only on our website. You guys have to go to our website and then download them to check them out. Follow along, and because this was a very important episode, I did basically two notes back and back to forth, back front and back of Logan's Run. If you guys want my thoughts on that, so you can download those in the description bar below on our website. And remember, guys and gals, stay vigilant out there. Expose lies and share truth. This is Noise Era, Freedom Faction, and Frevolution out.